Hi everybody, and welcome to the Gentleman's Talk. Country and Western is in the background tonight. How the devil are you? Country and Western is in the background tonight. I love it. That's me going, no, it's not. It's me trying to listen to the lyrics. I absolutely love country and Western. You've got to have a little bit of it's like a bit of an aphrodisiac, the old country and Western, isn't it? You've got to have a little bit of something, you know. It's one of those, I was classed country and Western as a little bit of a naughty desire. Do you know what I mean? It's like hiding the chocolate. He's like, I shouldn't have that fucking chocolate. I think country and Western sits in that category for me. Shouldn't really listen to it because it's just a bit, I just love it. I just absolutely love it. Anyway, how the devil are you? How you been? What have you been up to? Hopefully, you are, how can I put this? Bringing up the perk that comes with the spring that is upon us. We have broken into spring. The first spring day of spring was the other day. I celebrated that first day of spring with a pair of shorts and flip-flops. Admittedly, it did have a jumper and a puffer jacket on. But hey, I was embracing the spring. It's still fucking Baltic out there. It is still fucking blowing hoolies. And it's still raining. But I'm fucking bringing... There's been days of sun. There's been snippets of sun just fucking beaming through the clouds, and I absolutely love it. So hopefully, if you're one of these people that is a sufferer of seasonal affect disorder, or SAD as we know it as, then hopefully you'll start seeing glimpses in the morning. Hopefully you'll start feeling all of the positivity that comes with the sun, the vitamin D, the natural stuff, the good juice. Vitamin D, it's almost like the heroin of nature, isn't it? It really does keep us going. But we don't get enough of it. I'm from the UK. We are blasted by crap weather. We are constantly, we are constantly surrounded by clouds. And it's interesting, actually. So I had a friend, Mark Dickinson, his name was. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Mark Dickinson. He was an American photographer. Well, he used to be a police officer. And he was he went into like wedding photography. And we were both into sort of gaming, if you like. It's going to sound a bit geeky, but it's going to be a purpose to it. Hold on to the ride. So yeah, anyway, so we got chatting away on this forum where we were like, what sort of fucking forum? Shut up, James, calm down. We were on a gaming forum chatting away. And then we became sort of friends, and we were just sort of kind of, he was into photography. I really wanted to start photography. I think I mentioned a little bit about him actually previously in a couple of early podcasts. But he, absolutely fantastic bloke. We were doing photography, and he was really, really envious of the fact of the shots that you could get in the UK, because we could create sort of really detailed, high contrast, you know, it sort of gave a real big depth to a photo. And I think that's the beauty. So if you look at it from one perspective, you could look at the UK as being it's fucking hell, it's always dismal, it's always fucking raining, it's always cold. There is extremes in other areas of the world, don't get me wrong, but it just seems quite dull. And it seems that our summers are getting slightly shorter. Doesn't feel like we're getting them at all, if anything. I know last year was an absolute abysmal chance at getting a bit of sun. I think we got about a week at best. So as I bring back round, yeah, it depends on how you look at the positivity of life. You could look at it as, oh, actually your environment creates a really creative photo. But then I did say to him, like, yeah, that's fine. You can look at it from that perspective. It gives you something different, a different dynamic to your photography, because he's got crisp, he lives in Florida, so he's got crisp blue skies. And I'm like, yeah, but you've got natural vitamin D, you're all a lot more happy. Well, I don't know, actually. Yeah, I suppose Florida's associated with being quite soft, I think, isn't it? So he lives in the softer area, if you like. So it's interesting how you can look at life, though, isn't it? That sort of spun back round, long-winded story, but he was a really nice guy. We lost touch over years. But I think it's mainly because I fell out of the photography world. I was invested in it. As I now know, through the ADHD side of things, this is why I literally leave stuff once I get to the point where I've reached the peak. And I did professional photography. I'd say I was at a professional level of photography in wedding photography and portrait photography. That took me a while to try and digest that. So I got, but then as soon as I realised and I'd done enough, and I was like, okay, this is getting quite repetitive now. I literally, and I'm sat right now in my man cave, on the chair that I built, and in the chair, under the chair, is my camera. So that's the one that he sold me years and years and years ago for an absolute amazing rate. Full frame photo. Probably a relic now, to be fair, in terms of Nikons. But yeah, really good guy. We just sort of fell off. But it's interesting how we look at the dynamic of life. But I also said to him, yeah, that's fine. You can get something out of that. However, there's huge natural side effects to having constantly dark, dismal, grey days. And that's the fact that we get this seasonal affect disorder. So if you're one of those ones that is consciously now thinking, oh, Christ, you know, because we do go through this element of like sort of October, I think. Well, no, because we do have a slightly later summer. So I'm trying to unpick our seasons now because they've all moved a little bit. I remember when I was younger, 1980s, that we used to get our summers and it was religious. Like, you know, June would start getting warm and then July was blistering and then August was blistering and it sort of petered off. But now, you know, almost 40 odd, so shall we say. I don't want to admit that. But we come back round now, and our seasons have kind of moved. We kind of don't really get warm until sort of, you know, August, you know, September sometimes we even peak. So it's interesting how we've moved sidewards with our seasons. But the thing is with that is if we have a poor season, like we did last year, and it was predominantly dark, a week of sun at best, We come through. So people that have mental health disorders that are associated with that, where we don't get enough vitamin D, and if you look, most British people are really, really low on vitamin D, which is a natural antioxidant type thing for your body to, you know, to fight diseases, infections and things like that. Anyway, really, really important. Vitamin D, we hear it all the time. It was one of the biggest things when COVID came out, was like, you know, we're going to struggle because of vitamin D deficiencies. Well, vitamin D comes from the sun. We don't get a lot of it here. So, you know, don't need to be a scientist to understand that, you know, you're naturally going to bring your level of serotonin down. And if you're someone that suffers with the seasonal affect disorder, which means that you go into a plummet. I know quite a few friends that are very, very, I can watch them. And it's almost like me, very similar. I go through to the point where, you know, I hardly ever talk to anyone. I switch my fucking phone off. I just completely go barren, you know. But then when summer comes round, I'm a completely different person. You know, I'm kind of like, yay, this is fucking brilliant. You know, get to see a bit of excitement. However, then I still manage the other things. It's not like I'm doing a fucking roller coaster every day. It just means that I just enjoy life a little bit more in terms of it makes the dark days a little bit easier to deal with. That's kind of the easiest way to describe it. So it depends on all the other conduits that go into place, you know, that come along with that help. But if you're one of these ones that are, you know, you suffer from seasonal affect disorder, it's going to be a minefield, isn't it? You're going to be wanting this sun. So, you know, coming back round again, that's what this is about. You'll start seeing now people walking around naturally with a little bit more of a smile on their face. You know, we're not wearing bulky clothes. We feel a little less restricted. We're wearing shorts, t-shirt, flip-flops, whatever it may be. So our body is getting a little bit more connected with the environment around us. So it brings a lot of positivity. You know, you almost find, I think almost, with regards to, for me, I'm a real big water baby. So for me, the kind of it's invaluable when I get to go out into the water during sort of spring and summer, because that brings up my mental health, because I like being in the water. It's just one of those things that absolutely soothes me. I can do sports in there. So whether it be wakeboarding, surfing, paddleboarding, you know, anything I can just try and have a go at, it comes with loads. So, you know, paddleboarding is something I want to do this year. I've gone out and bought a paddleboard just so I can just literally get onto a lake and just chill out. You know, trying to use it as a bit more of a mindfulness regime, a bit more meditation. So it's not a case of jumping on the paddleboard and going, fucking, let's see how fast we can go, how far we can go. It's a case of just enjoying the heat, the waves, the, you know, whatever it may be, just being part of nature. That's what I'm trying to get at, a little bit more out of this, through a bit more water therapy. We might as well call it water therapy. And you probably see a lot of things on cold water therapy at the moment, which is huge, isn't it? You know, cold water therapy is really, really good for your psychological and mental health. Saunas, anything you want, you know, anything that, that removes toxins from you or makes your body go to an extreme. So you might go into a sauna and people don't realize you're putting pressure on your heart. So your heart's working harder to cool you down. So when you go into a sauna, everyone's like, you know, you feel amazing. You will feel amazing because you've pressurized your heart. You know, you've pressured your heart, sorry, into doing something. So you've opened up all your pores, and your pores are like seeping out all the antioxidants. You know, so there's huge benefits to it. And you also feel a lot more relaxed, your muscles relax, so you naturally sleep better. And it's pretty much as simple, it's a slight different conversion when you go into cold water therapy, but cold water therapy is inherently more around, you know, getting your body to just, you know, tighten up and just work those muscles and actually do the opposite to the heat, where they're trying to put work even harder to contract your muscles to try and get them to warm up. So the benefits are huge. If you can, I mean, I did, when I was in Saudi Arabia a few years back, and I was doing that job, I think I've mentioned that again in previous podcasts, and I was out there for 4 months. Was it 4 months? 3 months. I was out there for 3 months, and every single day I went, they had two saunas at the back of this swimming pool area. Jacuzzis. And one was absolutely Baltic ice, freezing cold, constantly circulating through a filter, and one was boiling hot. So if you did 2 minutes in each one, so 2 minutes hot, 2 minutes cold, 2 minutes hot, 2 minutes cold, and did that continuously for about 15 to 20 minutes, your body was, I slept like a fucking baby. I'm telling you now, literally like a fucking baby. What, you pissing shit in the bed? I slept like a baby. I've had three children, and I don't understand why we use that as a reminder, because my fucking babies never fucking slept through, so they were always pissing, shitting, and fucking wanting feeding. So I don't understand how we use that as a, oh, you slept really well then. No, I slept really well. Do you know what? I lost when I did that regime. It's kind of like why I'm trying to save up. So I mentioned it, I think I have. So I'm trying to save up for an ice bath. Because that's what I've wanted. I wanted one for about a year and a half now, but they are bloody expensive. So I'm trying to save up for one of those. I think it's going to be incredible. And I've got a little space in the back garden, just step in. But I want one with a freezer, you know, the freezer unit. So it's kind of all encased in. And I just want to, yeah, that's my goal, to try and have something like that on tap. I just think it will absolutely, you know, the benefits are huge. And because of my medication, so my medication brings my temperature up. And I'm another little story, actually. So I was talking to my friend about this. So my medication, it brings up my body temperature by, I don't know, by maybe 0.2 of a degree. So really, really fucking small. Is it not even 0.002? It's like a tiny bit, but it basically means that I'm constantly hot. And I mean, you know, I'm fucking, if I get a little bit of exertion in me, I'm fucking pissing out. I'm absolutely, I remember walking across London, and I got to the other side of London, and I was like, right, I've got to sit down and enjoy myself. I'm fucking pouring out with sweat. So that's because I'm naturally up, because the antidepressant does it. It's one of the side effects anyway. So for me, the hot side of things is pretty, it's sort of pointless, really, because I'm always fucking hot and sweaty. I'd rather be the other end, rather be the cold end of the spectrum. So hopefully, and I did it last year in June, in January. I did about 4 weeks of it going down to the river. It just got tedious. And it was also the fact that, like, to go there and do it in the river, people were frowning against you. You had to go there, park up, run to the lake, the river, get in the river. To be honest with you, it was not the cleanest. If I'm going to do it, I'd like to get the benefits but not get the negatives of getting fucking bitten by crazy little insects, or fucking getting in and getting something bite on your fucking foot. You just don't know. So I want to do it properly. Anyway, to come back around, that's what I want to do. I want to do it properly. So, but the benefits, and I think it's really, really important that we look at these things, especially, like I said, this time of year, when we're looking at things like seasonal affective disorder and people starting to be a bit more perky, and they're starting to feel a little bit more vibrant, they're getting up in the morning, and, you know, you sort of, I remember this morning I drew back the curtain and I could see the sun, and it just instantly made me feel better about waking up. And you know, I think it was like 7:15 on a fucking Sunday morning. I was like, what the hell are you doing up? But I peeked back and I was like, that's beautiful. That makes me want to get up. So I jumped up, you know, bosh, straight out. Whereas before when I've done that and you've looked out and it's been fucking pissing down with rain, it's been cold, it's been windy, it's been dark, you still see that yellowy street light on, you're like, no, I'm just going to lie in fucking bed. And it's interesting how our mood sets change. We feel more invigorated to go out and get the day. So, but we have to, and we have to take advantage of that. That's another thing, is don't not go outside. That's not a good word, but you've got to get outside and enjoy it as much as you can, especially, and I think people will, people do. I know a lot of people do in my little circle. And I think it's because it becomes a joy. When you go out in the rain and everything else, you come back, you're dismal. You're not in the fucking best frame of mind. So you kind of, you know, have to have that little bit of more of an incentive. So hopefully that's it. Hopefully, to come back round, hopefully that is what you're going to start getting on. The spring is upon us. It's one of my favourite seasons. That's an autumn. Colours that come with it. The feel in the temperature, the temperature's rising. You can see the soil slowly drying out, which is a good feature, you know, because we're not sodden everywhere. So it's a positive. Everything starts to feel a little bit easier. I actually spoke to my brother yesterday. I left him a voice message, and I was like, how's things, buddy? You know, da 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 da. And he went back and said, mate, you sound amazing. I said, you sound like you're really in a good place. I was like, actually, today I am, you know, I've been out in the sun. It's been really, really positive. But it sort of brings me on. I had a long chat with him. I need to have a chat with him. But it came back round and I was like, well, actually, yeah, I've had a lot to reflect on. And I think I've been reflecting on it. And it sort of kind of brings me into the topic, really, that I want to talk about today. And life is a minefield of good and bad. That's the title. So hopefully you've got a little gist of what you think I'm going to talk about. And hopefully I'd love to know what's in your cogs right now. Life's a minefield of good and bad. Very true. Very, very true. And it is. We have, if you've ever been going through life, and hopefully if you've ever been going through life, of course you have because you're listening to this. But as you go through life is the word I was looking for. As you go through life, it is a minefield of good and bad. And I've spoke about this before in terms of, you know, not every day's good, not every day's bad. And I've got a couple of little titles I've written down, which I'll feed into you in a minute. But life is a minefield of good and bad. It's I've had curveballs chucked at me. And, you know, I've used that as a way of describing life sometimes, haven't I? And I had a curveball. I had the probably the biggest curveball in my life to date is obviously my daughter. That was a huge curveball. That was unexpected. And something I don't want, something I've actively suppressed. I don't want to bring it up. And I've chose that because there is no there's no real resolution. There's no solution to it. There's nothing positive comes out of the solution. So for me, it's interesting actually. So I've been reconnecting with a couple of people, and I spoke about that in my last podcast, and how the reconnection really does help. It just helps you to talk. But it's interesting how when I spoke about everything and when I've mentioned it. So I've mentioned it to three different people, three new people in my life. I've got to the point where, unfortunately, I'm with the ADHD comes oversharing, so I overshare normally, but I don't really mind. I'm not ashamed of oversharing, because for me, it's not oversharing. I think if you've got to the point where I'm telling you something, you're somebody that I value or trust, you know. And yes, you can get bitten by that down the line, which I have done. And unfortunately, that's life, you know. And again, that feels straight back into life brings good and bad things. So that was a real big curveball. But the three people I spoke to, all of them said, oh, is he still alive? And I sort of kind of looked and went, okay, well, it's interesting you say that. And I said this to all three of these people. I said, it's interesting that you said that. Is he still alive? Well, I would suggest he is still alive because, number one, I'm still here. But why do you suggest that you would make that assumption? Is he still alive? Because you know that I can't fucking kill him. I'd love to kill him. You know, he's torn my, you know, he's torn my daughter away from me, if you like. No, that's the wrong way. I'm not going to get into a dark place here. But what I'm saying, it sort of feeds into, I'm just trying to get through this bit. Like I said, it's a minefield, but I want to be open and honest about it. And I think it's important that we talk about these things, because that's the whole basis of you know, mental health. If you can sit there and suppress, and I've spoke about how we still suppress now, we still think there's a stigma, but it's interesting how the every man I've spoke to has gone like, have you got a plan? What are you doing about this? And I'm like, well, what can I do about this? What like genuinely as a law abiding citizen, you know, wants to get through life. I don't want to go to fucking prison. What's the alternative? There is no alternative. You leave it to the police. The police have come back and given me that, you know, their verdict, if you like. And they've said, well, you know, whatever. I said, there's nothing they can do about it. It's his word against us. Blah, blah, blah. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Played the system. I get it. I'm not fucking stupid. But that's a minefield. So I have had to suppress that and concentrate on the positives. And the positives for this whole situation is I will pay whatever it requires to make sure that she feels, and I don't mean financially as in chuck money at her, she will obviously have, this is the next bit, but I'm saying I will pay anything she can get to support, because noting that it's really difficult to get through the system, something I'll come on to later as well. So the mental health system is practically broken, even though we're just learning about mental health and stuff like that, but it's a broken system. It's well, life is too overwhelming at the moment for so many fucking people because of technology advancements, you know, in immigration problems, which I am not, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics, but again, they bring unruly things because they're from different countries with different rules. So we've seen you know, anxiety go through the roof. That's what that has done, because people don't feel safe in their environments. So there's lots and lots of things to think about, but ultimately, you know, as you sort of navigate those areas, navigate those bits of life, what do you think you can do about this? There's nothing you can do. I can't go out and just go, right, well, I think you did it. I know you did it, because I've seen my daughter, I've seen her reaction, I've seen how she was, I've seen everything, not, you know, with regards to what I can as a dad. There's nothing I can do. So I'm going to make sure that she gets all the love and support she can get. She will be fully supported. My wife has gone above and beyond for her, to the point where, like, literally, you know, make sure she gets everywhere. And I think that's the only thing we can do as parents. That's the only thing I can do as a dad, because everything else just brings negativity. So we've had to hone in on the positives. The positives are we're still a family unit. The positives are we're still in a, you know, we will make the safest place possible. There's lots of other things that come along with it, but it's you're a little bit more vigilant as a parent, because you don't know. I took the eyes off the ball. I don't know. But these are all things we're learning, and this is about life being the minefield. So inherently, yes, I know, I get the bit where you could say I'm oversharing. I don't think it's oversharing for me, because the more I talk to people, the more that I get asked more questions, which led into those questions when I said to my friends, I was like, so why did you, you know, what do you think, what do you want me to do? And they're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, so say it happened to you, and I said, and I'll be open and honest about the process, and I talk them through the process, and I say, you know, this happened, the police done this, rah, 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 you've done everything, it's been 18 months in the making, there's nothing I can do, the law is the law, and this is where it sits. So I can't even appeal it, because it's dragging everything through again. So what do you want me to do? Would you do that? And they're like, well, no, I don't know. And I'm like, exactly, you don't know until you get there. And I hope you never get there, because no, I don't wish that upon anyone to get there. But what I can tell you is, if something does happen and the curveball comes along, how you manage it defines how you are as a person. So if I'd have gone out and just gone fucking batshit crazy, what would that have solved? It wouldn't have solved anything, I don't think, in life. And this is the lessons learned bit for me. And this is what I'm trying to learn as I navigate these minefields, which I've got a couple more examples coming on. But it's interesting, as you navigate those minefields, I share the problem. So often I say to people, I tell people that I feel that I can trust and value, and they may be in my group, like I've told a colleague actually, and I was a bit like, you know, I felt safe and trusted to tell this colleague, and it wasn't for sympathy in any way, shape or form. It was more about the fact that this is just something I have to deal with. So if I'm a little bit hot-headed one day, it's not inexcusable, but maybe something's happened, I don't know. But if you know about my background, when you're working with me, and I think I've done the right thing there. I think if people understand you, that we're in your network, in your closeness, and this is where we talk about nurturing, talking and opening up to our network. So everything, if you've noticed how everything feeds in nicely, and I've said this many times, it feeds in into sync. So if you have the right people surrounding you, and you can trust them to tell them things that help you offload, they'll listen and they'll offer support and advice. And they'll support you through life. It sort of kind of works hand in hand. So you can be open and honest, which means problem shared is a problem halved. We talk about that all the time. And it's those things in life with mental health. It's really difficult. And this is where I say the minefield bit, because I've opened up to people, and I've alluded to this a minute ago. You know, I've opened up to people that I thought were friends, and I've told them real personal things. Not personal, you know, about my sex life or anything like that. But I mean, like, personal things about my emotional state or whatever, you know, education, things I've struggled with, whatever it may be. I've trusted in those people, and people have actively used that against me. Unfortunately, I felt that actually from something I took down an old podcast, because I felt it was a little bit of an emotionally driven podcast, and I didn't want to sort of kind of go into it. But it does bring into, if when you open up and those people let you down, it blows you away. It really does. And for me, that's kind of the difficulties of life, and you manage those minefields, and sometimes you get goods and sometimes you get bads, and it's how you manage it, as I said a minute ago, defines who you are as a person. So if I'd have gone off, and like I said, gone up and gone batshit crazy, say I'd have done that, and I said this to my mate, actually, very good friend of mine, we, like I say, reconnected, old school friend, and I said to him, you know, what if I'd have done that? What if I'd have gone up there and just fucking like blown off the fucking handle and just like fucking killed this guy? Because I would have gone to prison for murder 25 years. Okay, that's it. Whatever it may be. And the fact that he's under the age of 16, probably would have been even worse. So what would I gain out of that? Absolutely nothing. I don't gain anything out of it. In terms of, I just lose my family, I lose my freedom, I lose everything, all because of this fucking one guy. When actually, I can do the best thing I can do, which is 100% support my daughter. So I can be there 24/7. I can support her with whatever she needs. I can help her. I can nurture her. I can push her. I can also give her love when she needs it. So I can do all of that. I can't do that from behind bars. So it's interesting how we still have that thought process, like we were still living in the country in Western times, where you can go, you did what, mate? Fucking walk up, bat and bang, and, you know, that was it. You know, you might spend a fucking night in jail, whatever, you break out. We've seen the movies, haven't we? You know, but it's different. We can't do that. We still have this mentality. It's almost like a bit of a barbaric mentality for men, isn't it? It's like, you fucking hurt my loved ones, I'm going to kill you. And you would. And do you know what? I thought about it. I'm not going to fucking lie. I've cried. I literally burst into tears over the, you know, I remember categorically just ringing up my dad, just going like, you know, fucking hell. Why me? Why my daughter? Why has he done this? You know, because you ask why. You're a bloke. You're like, I never would have done this. And I'm, you know, you just don't know. I don't, that's the bit, I can't process it. And because I know I can't process it, there's no point in going over it. So what do I do? Suppress it. Again, it's a suppression thing. But what I do as a coping mechanism is I let people that are very close to me know, so that they can hopefully understand me a bit more and understand that, you know, I have got something that is a bit of a whirlwind. And I still don't know how to deal with it, because life is a minefield. And unfortunately, this was the bad one that I'm having to deal with. There's been casualties in this. So it's interesting. And I talk about minefields all the time. I've had a couple of minefields this week, actually. So, you know, I've had really, really, and this is where I say life can chuck things at you. So unexpected. You know, that was an unexpected, and you know, we broke into that a bit there, but it's still something I'm unpicking, if you like. But I've had a couple of curveballs. I've had one where I had a party, and it had a bit of a weird, just a weird, difficult ending to it, to the point where I still don't get it, still don't understand it. It was just kind of, and I just think it was too much drink, and it was basically just, what's the easiest way to describe it? It was just a, I think it was too much drink and it just turned into an absolute mess. There was like fucking carnage everywhere. I woke up in the morning and there was just fucking mud all over the place. And basically what happened, got too drunk, fell into the fucking garden and, you know, literally just brought mud everywhere. So it sort of made me feel, that was a curveball. Okay, it was not a big one, but, you know, it was a curveball I didn't expect, you know. So I'm kind of like, you know, okay, that's a bit of a curveball, but that's a minor curveball. Then I get into another curveball, which came in on early hours of the week, where I'd sent an email to an old colleague just to ask for a bit of advice. And it turned into a 45-minute fucking bollocking, basically, being shouted. I was shouted at for like 45 minutes. And even my colleagues were watching through the window going, you look like that was a bit of a heated conversation. I was like, it was completely out of the blue. And ironically, I'd done nothing wrong. Literally 110%, I'd done nothing wrong. In this whole situation. But I was like, I was made to feel, and I was like, Christ alive. The only thing that was going through my mind, and this is what I reflected on, because reflection's important. What I've reflected on massively is the negatives are there. There's lots of negatives, being shouted at, being for not doing anything wrong. But I just looked at it, it was like, the reflection side of thing, I didn't know how to get over it. It took me a few days to get over both of those events, actually. I was like, one where it just went chaos, forgot the night, and it just went mental. Ended up my fucking place getting trashed, which really pissed me off. So then the second one was, you know, literally I was still emotionally driven from that incident. And then going in and just literally chatting for advice, because some, you know, this something had happened. And I was like, oh, just need a bit of advice. But that turned into a complete and utter slagging match. Like, literally made to feel, I was sat there going, I'm fucking 40 odd year old and I'm being shouted at by a 50 odd year old person for nothing. Like, I literally, I've done nothing wrong here. To the end, I was like, this is ludicrous, mate. But again, that was a life. That was a curveball I didn't expect to expect. I didn't expect to get last week. And then another one is working. I'm working in this, you know, this sort of kind of environment, and it's just curveball to curveball all the time. It's just kind of managing those things. So managing life, I suppose, is the easiest way to describe it. But it's interesting how all of that emotionally drove me this week, really emotionally drove me. And then I sort of got to Thursday and I had some, I think some positive news. I finally got some positive news. Two bits. One, I can't say anything about just yet. But the other two, I've had my final assessment. I told you about the whole right to buy thing. 2 seconds, I'll take a sip. I had a little bit of a dry mouth there because I'm talking on fucking full pout. I can feel it. But I finally, this is just a little bit of news about me. And this, and I think the reason I'm going to say this is perseverance. So as you know, I was diagnosed with, with ADHD, but it went through the right to choose path, and it went through not the NHS route. So I said the difficulties of not going through the NHS, this is for you UK people, the difficulties of going through the mental health route externally used to be right to choose, which means you could go through quicker. However, what they've discovered is every man and his dog in the right to choose path has been just basically diagnosing every man and his fucking dog. So it's got to the point where they're like, right, we need to slow this down, because obviously there's medication implications for people getting diagnosed with things and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Time, there's also for things like autism and stuff like that, you get specialist care, but you get help and assistance, you get support. So you become a little bit of a priority, but not a priority, if you know what I mean. You actually get fed into the proper system. So it's a quicker route. But I did say to a fair few podcasts ago, it's been difficult because that's not been recognised by the NHS. And what they've said now is the NHS will not even recognise any right to choose paths. So eventually, all these people that have gone through the quicker route to get diagnosed, support for medication, support for mental health, you know, getting diagnosed with these, these mental disorders is the easiest way to describe it. And again, I say we don't need it. We're not looking for a diagnosis for the, I certainly not. Anyway, maybe there is, but there's, looking for that diagnosis isn't about finding, saying, oh, please look at me, I've got this. It's about trying to understand yourself. So for me, I'd done the route. I'd kind of thought, well, okay, that's given me a route to start. It's given me a little bit of information to sort of get going. And when it came to actually getting the support that I needed through the doctor, et cetera, it was just unrecognized. And I said this, and I've said this all along, that, you know, that was a difficult part for me, because I was like, so what is the point of going the other route to get diagnosed? And it's just because you can help yourself. I'm like, well, okay, then, well, that's fine. I can live with that. But I also want, you know, look at the medication side of things for ADHD, because I've looked into it, and maybe it will help. I don't know. And so anyway, long story short, boring the fucking pants off myself there, is this route I've gone through. So it's been 2 years in the making. I told you this, and I went through to this, the proper NHS place, and I'm gone into my assessment, and they're really, really helping me out, massively helping me out. And they've pushed me into and waiting for the final assessment on my ADHD and now autism. So I kind of had a feeling about those two things, but this isn't about, you know, being labelled as something. This is more about, now I can kind of recognise why I do the things I do, why I require more details. And it sort of feeds into a little bit, actually, what is a really, really big, a good point for this week at the same time. So I had my assessment on Thursday, my final assessment sort of thing, to get the report and all the good jazz that goes with it. And then during the day, I'm actually mentoring these two amazing people in my new job. So one's 28, a girl, and one boy is 29. And they're from different team leaders, different departments. And basically, they've just both been diagnosed recently within the last couple of weeks with ADHD themselves. And they've come in and sort of said, is there a bit of support? Is there anything I can do? So I'm actually mentoring them, which is really good, because I've been doing this podcast and understanding myself for the last couple of 3 years. And really, really helped. And it sort of fed into being able to physically watch people sort of develop in life as well. You know, that they I don't want them to go through the struggle that I went through. I kind of want to give them tips and tricks. And it was really interesting. I sat down with the girl first, and we were having a cup of coffee and stuff, and I was talking about rejection sensitivity disorder that's attached to ADHD. And it was interesting how both of us, it was honestly like we were fucking two young kids in a fucking, like, literally just looking for things that are shiny. It was crazy. We were trying to get involved in the conversations, but we kept just completely and utterly losing concentration. So she got loads out of it. She said, do you know what, I've had two conversations now. I was the second person that she had a conversation with. Both of you have said I need structure, and I'm not doing structure. I said to her about having things normal, like waking up and going to work. That should be normal routine. That should be, I call that business as usual. And it should be. It should be just something that you don't even think about. I don't want to think about what time I have to get up. I want it to be just, I get out of bed at this time. I know that if I get up at this time, it takes me this long to get ready. I will be here at this time, and then I'll be at work, etc., etc., etc. What I do from then onwards is irrelevant. I know that I need that as a structure. I know that I need my structure for dinner, and I know I need my structure for the end of the day. This person wasn't doing that. In fact, both of them weren't doing that. They were like, no, it's flexible working. We just, you know, we come in, but I guess I do get a bit stressed, because I'm like, oh, I need to make up some hours. Oh, no, I've got too many hours. And I was like, yeah, but that's because you shouldn't be thinking about that. You're overwhelming yourself with decisions that you don't need to make. They should be just decisions that have already been made. You know what time you go to work. You know that if it takes you an hour and you plan your day in, it takes me an hour to get into work and ready, you plan that in what time you need to get up. I said, and I was having this really, really, like, it wasn't a stern conversation, but it was a good conversation in the sense I was like, you've got to take advantage of having the usual easy things mitigated, as in just it's everyday journey stuff. This is business as usual. You know to get up and get out. And if you're late, you'll subconsciously know you're going to be late, but you have to just accept that. And that's the hardest bit. You can't beat yourself up and go, oh, I fucking got up 5 minutes late. Oh, God, I've got to try and make that time. No, you don't. Just take the 5 minutes late, but learn from it. So it's helping me, because there was a couple of things, actually. It was really interesting as well, because the girl, when I was talking to her about, I was talking about, you know, do you overspend? I was asking the general questions that you would associate with sort of ADHD mentality. And I was like, do you overspend? Or, you know, have you been too in debt and all this sort of stuff? And she was like, no, I'm completely the opposite. I do nothing but save. And I count every single penny. So she's got the obsession with saving money and not wanting to spend it. Whereas I went the other way. I went the fucking just keep spending it, mate, and worry about that shit later, which is I wish I'd gone her way, if I'm honest. But I took tips and tricks off of her. I was like, well, how do you do this? So, and I was learning from somebody that had a slightly different and a different route with their ADHD, because there is different aspects to it and it affects people differently, like every disorder does. You know, it's even like when I was, they were talking, so I had a psychology discussion. We're talking about the autism side of things, and that comes with, you know, loud noises, that comes with the not wanting to have long conversations with people. And it's interesting how you can have two different disorders that fight each other. And this is how they described it to me, and the stuff I probably hopefully described to you as. And it's like fighting each other. So, you know, you've got one aspect of a disorder that's fighting, you know, noise and doesn't want to be this, you know, doesn't want to sort of kind of go out and get the anxiety and all that sort of stuff. And then you've got the other side where the ADHD was, no, I if you go out, I will get loads of dopamine. I'll be really fucking happy. And it's interesting how we go sort of how they fight each other and make your life really hard. You can sit there and freeze because you're like so overwhelmed, but your like brain's going, oh, hold on, James, you need a bit of structure, because structure will help you. So it can help you, but it can also really hinder you. In fact, I had this conversation, actually. I'll tell you this little thing. If I can, I hope I get it right. But she was talking, I was talking to this lady at work, and she sat down. We had a coffee and a catch up. She started on the same day as me. So we kind of had the first day of like just talking, because we were in the same computers at the same desk. And I was like, got sort of chatting away to her, and then I hadn't seen her for about 2 weeks, and then we got caught up chatting again. And she said, I was listening to, she was talking, or just trying to describe somebody who's, what's the word I am looking for? Extrovert and introvert. They're the two I'm looking for. So she said, it's interesting how, you know, if you've got ADHD, you're kind of a bit of an extrovert. And if you're autism, normally you're a bit of an introvert. Because I can be both. I can kind of like, I can go extrovert. And then there's times where I just literally want to switch off. And she just said, it's her husband describes introvert and extrovert as completely different people, in the sense that, so an introvert is somebody that starts with all of their coins. And if their coins, if you say you have 20 coins each, so basically you've got an introvert will start with their 20 coins, and they will go out for the day, and every time they have a conversation, so someone that's associated with like autism, someone like that, they will give their coins. Every time they go and have a social interaction, they'll give someone a coin, and they'll go through and someone will bump into them and they'll give them a coin. And then they'll, you know, go into a car ride or something, and then they'll, you know, bump into somebody. Or they keep giving their coins away. So what happens is, by the end of the day, they've got no coins. They're exhausted. They've been walking around everywhere. Whereas somebody who's an extrovert and is associated with, say, for instance, the normal symptoms and signs of ADHD, is you start off with no coins. So what you do is you go out and you take coins off of people, because you're feeding off of their energy. So you're getting that dopamine. So if you want to put, and that's probably the easiest, another way to describe it as well, is the coin is dopamine. So basically every time you give somebody a coin, if you're an introvert, you're taking away dopamine. So you're giving your dopamine away. So by the end of the day, you're exhausted. You're fucking, you've had enough. You get home and people are talking to you like, shut up, I don't want to talk. I don't want to listen to anything. I don't want no noise. That's basically someone you would describe as with autism, for instance. That's the easiest way I'm going to describe that, because I can relate to that. And then you've got the other side of things, where you've got the ADHD side of things, where you start off with no coins at the start of the day. And some days, if I'm in that mood, I'll go out and I'll be like, yeah, how's it going? And then you keep taking coins off of everybody. So you're boosting your dopamine. And you get to the end of the day and you feel enriched, you feel empowered. It's almost like if you've had ADHD, and again, this can be the bit that is fighting with you, you can go out with no coins of ADHD and not see anybody. So if you don't see anybody, you've not taken any coins off anybody, so you've got to the end of the day and you feel worthless. You feel, I've done nothing. I've given nothing to life. I've done nothing with life. I've not helped myself. I've got no... And you go into that point where the pit of despair, I call it. So it's interesting how even just our personalities can drive our different aspects or the way we look at things in life. And it's interesting how we do that. Introvert, extrovert, and we associate those with like autism and, you know, ADHD. Again, they're the two titles I'm going to talk. But there's no difference between things like PTSD. So post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, that's something that's, you know, that comes with anxiety and stuff like that. But if you've got PTSD and you're an introvert, it's going to be even more difficult because, sorry, an extrovert, sorry. So naturally, that's where you get your dopamine from, is being an extrovert, and you've got PTSD. Well, you're not going to go out because you don't want to go out. You've got anxiety, you've got shock, you've got despair, you know, and PTSD is a fucking killer as well. So you can have anxiety where you don't want to go into a car, or like for, I say, again, I use that as my example, but we look at soldiers that, you know, they hear noises, loud noises, so they don't want to go out with loud noises because it reminds them of the post-traumatic stress disorder from the war zone or the conflict or whatever they've been in. So it's interesting how that can drive you with your dependent on your mental health or what your ailment is, if shall we say, your disability. And I'm going to call it disability. And it's interesting, actually, I'm going to feed back in. So it's sort of kind of the good and the bad. And I feed back in that it's interesting that the conversation where I was getting shouted at for 45 fucking minutes, but for unnecessary, basically. In fact, I'm going to give you one line because I think it's important I say this. And this kind of drives, I will say that the content, the topic of this, that both of us are within the disability network. So this is an interesting part. This is somewhere where, you know, both of us advocate mental health and well-being. We live by it, supposedly, inverted commas. Yet you get spoken to like that. And there was an interesting comment that was made, actually, towards me, which is the bit that really, really struggled to get over with. And the conversation went, it said, "What will make James Littlejohn happy?" That's my name, obviously. And I said, "What do you mean, what will make me happy?" And I was like, what will make me happy is things being done properly as they should be done, so I don't feel shit. That is what I would want to happen. So it's interesting how we talk about how, you know, we you know, even people that are in that network talk to people in the same network that are struggling, and they know the struggles, and they still talk to you like shit, and they make you feel like you're the one that's done nothing wrong, done something wrong. So it's interesting. Gaslighting, I think they call it. Gaslighting. But it's interesting how, like, the minefield of life, even just, this is one fucking week. This is 1 week of, like, just trying to understand a minefield. And it's all been brought on. Every single occasion has been brought on by that I've had in my minefields. Probably, I've not really interpreted it in too much detail because I'm conscious that I don't want to create a slanderous environment. But at the same time, it's stuff that I've had to endure. And it's like, you know, I'm giving you pockets of, do you know what I mean? The being shouted at is unusual. You know, the dealing with colleagues, other colleagues that, you know, you kind of think to yourself, fucking hell, I don't know how I manage that. And it's new things all the time. So you're managing things all the time, good, bad. I've had, I had good stuff. I had real good psychology feedback, which has massively helped me. And again, this is about perseverance as well. And I alluded to that again earlier on, where I talk about perseverance. It's like, for me, it's to have this waiting list and to understand, and you know, I go back to being, you know, paying sort of double the time, really, to try and find out and get support for yourself. Because again, I mentioned this all the time. This is stuff I just beat the drum about all the time. Beat the drum. It always makes me laugh when I say beat the drum. But it is. It's stuff that I beat the drum about all the time, because it's stuff that is like, there's people that I'm speaking to that, and most of the people that I speak to now that are getting diagnosed, they're all getting diagnosed really late. You know, they're finding out these problems with life in it really late. And this is the problem, is this is why the mental health field is so, like, it's drowning, because there's so many people that are struggling and have struggled and haven't spoken up. There's a lot more people speaking up now, which is a massive positive, a huge positive, because people are speaking up and talking about their problems, going out and getting the support they need. So this is understanding that and the problem is, all of us have sat there, and this is the reason why I'm talking to you right now, is because men do this. Men shut down. They put on the fucking mask. They put on the brave face. They just crack on with it. And we hide things. And it's like, in fact, I broke into a little bit of a conversation, and I said, this is how interesting. So I was sat down with my new team leader. I'm going to tell you this story. I was sat down with my team leader and I was explaining, and she sort of said, you know, hey, do you feel supported? You know, you're supported. Is there anything I can do for you, et cetera, et cetera. Really good positive stuff, which is nice to be in an environment, again, it's counterproductive from my old environment, you know, where I didn't feel that kind of support. And then now all of a sudden you get massive amounts of support. It's really overwhelming, but in a really positive way. And I got some really good support. And she was asking me questions, and she was like, you know, what, you know, okay, so when did you know? And just the intrigue and stuff that you want to pull out, trying to get to know me, I suppose. And I was like, well, do you know what? I think the trigger for me was years and years and years and years ago. I mean, many moons ago. And there was a person that had basically, I lent it, that person a pen. And forgive me if I've told you this before, but hopefully if you're just listening and tuning in, you'll understand the minefield of life. And this is an example of that. And not talking up. This is a prime example. In fact, this is going to be the prime example of if you don't speak up and you suppress your mental health, this is the type of thing that can happen. And this is probably quite minor, really, in terms of it. But anyway, lent a pen to him. And then that person, I said to that person, can I have my pen back? Because I was doing the morning rounds, if you like. I was giving out the workload for everybody. So I was like, yeah, we can do this. Anyway, I said to him, can I have a pen? Can I have my pen back? And the person turned around to me and said, I'll tell you when I finish my pen in front of everyone. And everyone went, ooh. And you know when everyone makes that noise, they say, fucking hell, this guy's a bit brazen to be talking to his boss like that. So I fucking open hand backslapped him. I backslapped him around the face. And then, you know when you sort of hear the gasp, it's almost like that old pantomime. You go, oh, fucking hell. And I heard everybody go, fucking hell. Okay, James. Let's go for a fucking coffee, buddy. And I just remember my mate taking me out for a coffee. And that was the trigger then where I realized that I was like, it just took one little thing. It was that little spark that literally went, today's the fucking day. And I'm like, you're not the fucking guy. And but what you don't realize, and this is the importance of why we say we fucking talk, is because there was massive implications. I mean, I could have lost my job. I could have lost my career. I could have been done for fucking common assault, probably anything. You know, there could have been all sorts of problems and troubles. Luckily, there was a really supportive person and you know, the person understood. And I went in and said, look, you know, I think I've got a problem. And then that's when I was diagnosed with PTSD. This is what I mean by years and years ago. But it's interesting how I didn't talk. I didn't open up. I wasn't really managing my mental health in any capacity. I just shut it all away. This is why we need to get up and talk. This is why we need to open up about ourselves. And this is why we need to look for the right people. And again, I'm going to fit the jigsaw puzzle pieces together. And this is why we all nurture the right people around us to listen, support, help us, guide us through, make the memories with us. Because, you know, if you haven't got that support network, I've had a few curveballs and I can't talk about them in detail, to be fair, but they were curveballs. I'm telling you now, they were fucking curveballs. And I think for me, the plus side on reflection is the fact that the way I handled those situations. So every single situation was handled and gone, okay, that's not right. Yeah. Or whatever, move on. Or, you know, shut the phone down in the case of being bollocked and shouted at and said, well, when you can be fucking professional and adult like, then we'll have a chat. So it's how you deal with those. And again, I think that the persuasion factor of me understanding more about myself is I know that what I didn't do, for instance, is I was, when I was getting shouted at, I didn't raise my voice. I didn't swear. I didn't react in any way, shape or form. In fact, what I did do was put the phone down numerous times. And I used to deep breathe because I was like, I need to calm down, I need to keep my heart rate down. So I did that. And then it would be quiet and I'd pull the phone back up and I'd be like, okay, then, so, you know, and carry the conversation on. But I managed to keep myself calm. Now, normally what I would have done was just fucking flared up. And I was like, nope, this is what they want. You know, this is what wants to happen. It's not going to happen. So I managed to control. So that's a really, like, I can't emphasize how much of a win that is emotionally for somebody that's emotionally driven like me. But that's the perseverance bit of understanding more about myself. So when you speak to a psychologist and you finally get the diagnosis, you're waiting for the final report. The final report will kick into lots of other things for me to talk about, and also the final report will feed into the NHS side of things, so I get the help I need, which is nice. And it's not only just help, it's understanding that once that's locked in and I go, this is how I need to deal with this situation, or I can't deal with that situation now because that's what's going to happen. And although I'm doing that as a reflection basis, because reflection is so important to my life, and when I reflect on every situation, I go, I could have handled that better. I will make sure I don't do that again. This is the learning point that all of us, I think, generally, or mainly, and a lot of men don't do this, is we don't reflect on ourselves. We don't look for the problems, or we don't try and understand them. We just go, oh, okay, well, I had a fight last night. Okay, well, why did you have a fight? Well, I had a fight because I was too drunk and I got fucking gobby. Okay. Or you were drunk, somebody got gobby and you didn't back down, you just fucking went for it. Or whatever, you know, whatever it may. A lot of things are driven like that, you know, and we don't reflect on those. And I talk about drink because drink's quite a heavy thing for men. And men use it quite a lot to mask their problems. But then often what we find is when you've had drink, the problems come out in force. So it's really interesting. That's why I talk about. In fact, it was one of these interesting conversations. I was having an interesting conversation with one of the people, this person I was previously mentoring. And they opened up a little bit about ADHD. And I said, you know, what have you struggled with most? And a lot of them said the drink and the drugs. They said drink for me, and they were a little freer. So they were able to do, you know, more than most people do if you're in a structured environment, if you like, so shall we say. But the drink side of things, it's a huge addiction problem. And we utilize it to mask a lot. Men mask a lot of everything. It's like you go to the end of the week, oh, I could do with a fucking drink, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. It always revolves around that, because that's our coping mechanism. Our coping mechanism is to get drunk and black out and fucking black the world out and all the problems, and hopefully it'll go away. That's what we do. So it's how we manage our mental health. It's how we react to different situations. All of these are the development pieces. In fact, I've got a little thing. I saw this from Tiger Woods. And the reason I want to say this, I want to do a little bit on it. And all I put down is that's the beauty of tomorrow. Now, Tiger Woods, I watched a little, whether it was him that did it, I don't know. But I just saw a little word saying, and it says, tomorrow I'll be a better golfer. And then he went, tomorrow I'll be a better dad. Tomorrow I'll be a better husband. Tomorrow I'll be a better brother. Tomorrow I'll be a better son. And he said, and then it said, comma, that's the beauty of tomorrow. And it's really interesting, like, you know, irrelevant of if where the saying was said, but if it was Tiger Woods that said it, that's where we give him credit. But I read it and I went, it's so very true. It fed into a little bit about the life as a minefield for the good and bad. It's almost like that's why we have tomorrow. We have tomorrow to apologize. We have tomorrow to forgive. We have tomorrow. Tomorrow will be better. We will make sure of it. The reason tomorrow will be better is because we're reflecting on today. And if we reflect on the close of play today and we take the things that we've that have been good and we celebrate them, and we take the things that we've done that have been bad and we learn from them, the next day everything does become better if you actively manage life that way. If you don't and you go, oh, I've had a problem today, but I'm going to keep repeating, and again, I've said this before, if you're going to keep repeating that problem, it's never going to go away. And if you don't celebrate your wins, you're always going to be fucking sad. You're always going to be, because we forget the wins so easily. It may just be the smallest of wins. And there's a little win I took today. I put a poster up that I'd had for about 3 years. And it was of a Chinook print in the design of the 28 Squadron with the Pegasus and the Cookeries on the back. And I remember being the lead and main sprayer for one side of that with a small team. There was a small team of us, and I was very proud to have that print. And it's been sat in a rolled up tube for about 3 years. And I got it out and I went, James, that's a small win there, mate. You've got a Chinook design that you've sprayed with your signature on a print, and there it is. It's in your man cave. So it's a win-win. But I never celebrated that. I left it in a rolled-up tube, fucking hidden away, and I went, you've got a spare frame under there, James. That's how crazy and fractious I was today. I said, you've got a spare frame there, James. Stick it in. Stick it in. So it's celebrating those wins. That's the things we don't do is celebrate the wins. And sometimes we even get to the point where we're fixated on our losses. It because we're like, oh, God, yeah, yesterday that happened. Well, fucking let it go, mate. Let it go. Whatever was yesterday, learn from it. And this is the importance of mental health. If you keep fixating on the problems, if I kept saying, oh, I can't do this because I've got fucking ADHD, or I can't do this because I've got autism, or I can't do this because I've got PTSD, if we kept saying I can't do that, if you keep saying you can't do that, then you won't be able to do it. It's as simple as that. You've nurtured a negative mindset. And we say we want a, you know, positive mental attitude, PMA. That's what we say. It's an old school saying. PMA, positive mental attitude. That's what we want all the time. If you nurture a positive mental attitude, whatever yesterday was, whatever it was, learn from it. And that's what I've learned from. I've learned from those instances. I say the good and the bad. Were they good for me? No, they weren't good for me. They were bad. So what did I do? I learned from them. And in terms of, I will make adjustments so they don't happen again. And those adjustments will be, you know, whatever they need to be in place to mitigate that risk of them happening again. So that's the importance. I've taken lessons from those. I've learned from them, and I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. Because if I do, I'm just going to keep going around in circles, and it's going to happen again. I'm going to go, why the fuck is this happening again? It's because you didn't learn from it, you penis. So it's kind of like mental health going forward is about opening up, talking, learning, moving forward, taking those positives and taking those wins and getting as many wins as you can. Because rightly so, last week, I was threaders with last week. I'll be honest with you, I handled it really well in the sense that I didn't go into. I remember walking in and I got to Wednesday and I just went, fucking, I can't do this anymore. I'm fucking, I've had enough of people. And that's what I did. I genuinely got to a point where I've had enough of people, you know. And it got to Friday. I remember Friday. This is how bad my week was. I got to Friday and I just went, I can't do this. And to the point where I switched off everything at 2 o'clock and I went and led down for 2 hours and had a sleep. Because I was like, I'm threaders with life, with everybody. And that's where I sort of said the spring's coming in the air. We're trying to get a little bit more invigoration. You know, hopefully we're going to go out a bit more. All of the positives are coming. So things are hopefully subsiding in terms of the, you know, the weather driving our emotions. So we've got to keep fixating on the positives as much as we can. It's so, so important. If we can't, we've got nothing. And like I said, life can chuck you. How many times have you said, this is a fucking bad week? How many times have we said, this is a bad fucking month? Now, I bet there's even people, and I've been there, have said, this is a bad fucking year. This is bullshit. So how many times have I said that? But I'll tell you something. They were like that continuously until I started taking control of it. When I started taking control of what I wanted to do that was making me happy, that's when I started to become happy. Because I started, yes, the minefield is the other things, is the bits that you're not expecting, or, you know, the however people treat you because of your personality and your, you know, I remember a conversation with my psychiatrist, and he said, you know, they said, have you ever been bullied? Do you know why you were bullied? And I said, no. I said, I was horrendously bullied as a child. I said, I just never fit in. And you know, I gave examples, which is where, again, they gave with the autism side of things. So I was very sheltered. It's really weird because I was kind of sheltered and kind of, you know, with a bit of an introvert side of things. And I've always had, like, as I've been learning about myself just through the conversations, is learning about sensory deficiencies or overstimulation. You know, food texture is a real big thing for me. I like visually and in my, you know, in my mouth. It's like in my mouth. If you watch TikTok, you'll know what I did. It's really, really important that it's like I'm learning things. I always thought I was a real fussy eater. I am a fussy eater, but there's a reason why I'm a majorly fussy eater, and it's because of textures and things, which is, again, related to the autism side of things. And then you've got the ADHD, where I'm like, I remember as a kid, I was running around like just screaming at people, but I just outrun them because that was the adrenaline. I was getting the adrenaline. I was like, fucking come on, big boy, let's fucking go. I was always putting myself, I was always picking on the, I was always shouting at the fucking older people. I didn't give a shit. Like I said, I remember telling my my English teacher who made me stand up at the front and belittled me, and I remember telling her to fuck off. In fact, I think she come down the stairs, like, ah, she's a stupid fucking slag. I got suspended for that, but hey, it was worth it in my eyes because she fucking belittled me. She wanted to make me feel shit, and I was like, I'm going to fucking tell you how it is to feel shit. Authority won on that occasion, but I felt good afterwards. Anyway, we are digressing. I am oversharing. I'm overcaring. Yeah, I hope you have a really good week. I really do. I'm away next week, actually. I've got lots to reflect on. I'm only in tomorrow, and then I've got 4 nights with my daughter in Barcelona. So I am super excited to go to Barcelona with her and just show her around. There's some big changes for her coming in the future. She's looking at going, well, depends on where she wants to go in Barcelona for her internship and all this sort of stuff. We're lots of minefield stuff going on. But I'm going to go out there and we're just going to have a recce. The problem is all there's goods and bads. We're very, very similar. So we argue like fucking crazy. But at the same time, we're both bonkers. So I'm sure it's going to be a bit of a wild ride in terms of sightseeing. So we're going to be proper fucking like jackass tourists screaming around the place. I'm sure we will. So lots going on, lots to reflect on. Hopefully I've got a little bit of decompression coming from that and the importance of you know, getting out and about and learning new cultures. And I think that's going to bring in a lot of my next update. But yeah, I hope you have a really good week and focus on those positives. Really, like I said to you all the time, celebrate the wins. We get good days, we get bad days, we get good hours, we get bad hours. You know, it's life just chucks things at us. It's how you deal with those things that really defines who you are. You know, if you're somebody that's just going to, you know, I'm not going to get into that, actually. I'm not going to get into it. But just be conscious of how you deal with things. And then, like I say, learn lessons learned all the time. And, you know, let's focus on those positives. Have an amazing week. I love to hear back from you. If you want a little bit of feedback or anything like that, you want to chat to me, or you've got a topic you want me to talk about, jump onto the Facebook or jump onto the Spotify or something. Leave some feedback. Don't forget to like, comment, and share. That'd be really appreciated. Always love a little boost. Just keeps me going, keeps me excited. Yeah, have an amazing week, and I'll look forward to speaking to you soon. So take care, everyone, and I'll speak to you soon. Again, I said fucking twice. Love you, bye.